Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Glad to have you with us as we do every week about this time when we talk about all things related to financial being. And got joining me today, Chris Rudy, also from Kingston Wealth Management. Morning, Chris. What's going on?
Not too much. Just got another kind of a rainy weekend so far to start looking like. Maybe get some good, better weather on Sunday.
Maybe get a little bit of relief. Hey, one thing I wanted to start with a little bit, you know, we've had a lot of terrible things happen in terms of, you know, with this shooting last weekend and just a number of things that have gone on, not only here in this country, but internationally. But yet, from a financial standpoint, it's hard to imagine that we continue on the same trek and breaking records and with the markets just still seemingly finding no way but going in a forward direction. What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you bring it up. I mean, obviously we've seen whether it's natural disaster, you know, pressure from North Korea, everything going on in Spain to here in this country with another just horrible attack, as you point out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if it's sad to say that these things are starting to happen or they're, you know, we're getting the news about them so much more often that if people are becoming a little bit desensitized to then, you know, turning that into some type of financial market move, because you're correct, you know, after all of these various events we've seen over the course of the last few months, I think maybe 10 years ago, we would have seen a lot more movement in the market, perhaps.
No question.
And we're just not, you know, you're getting a little bit of intraday volatility, but, you know, just another kind of on repeat week that we've seen things kind of creep steadily upward. And it's really on the news of, I think, a lot of positivity from companies, a lot of, you know, positive outlook. Now we're starting to see what's going to take shape with the tax rollout. So, you know, just still a good time to be, just that continued long-term time horizon, I think, is key for folks.
A couple of things that I picked out this week. One, that story talking about American optimism about the economy hit an all-time high. 43% viewed it as excellent or good. That's amazing, because it does sort of back up what you're talking about, that people are willing to do some things. They're out there spending. Obviously, that helps equate profits for companies, things of that nature. The other thing that I saw is holiday spending right now. They're looking at an expectation of some of the neighborhood of maybe a 6% an increase over last year, which is very positive news for the fourth quarter. So I think when you look at all those things in totality, even with all of the naysayers that are out there, because they're coming out all time about when's this going to end and the bubble's about to break. But the harsh reality is, you guys know that we're not going to go on an upward spiral forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen eventually. We're going to see some pullback, whether it's a correction, whether it's a bear market territory. You know, that's anybody's guess. But the thing people need to keep in mind is that's a healthy part of markets and how they go. But you can see, you know, sometimes the averages don't always play out. You know, thinking about when we talk about corrections, a 10% pullback from a high. You know, we went for almost a period of 40 to 43 months without having one. Then we had 2 and 6 months and, you know, haven't really seen anything measurable since. I mean, we even haven't had, you know, I think it's been quite some time since we had a 5% pullback. So you have to be aware of what's out there. You have to know what's on the horizon. Don't try to anticipate it, because you'll end up doing yourself more damage. But just be prepared when that day comes. Doesn't mean that anything's wrong. Doesn't mean that you have to alter. You know, hopefully if you've got a good financial plan, you've got a good allocation in place, reasonably diversified, that you don't have to really make a move on that. But, you know, you point out all the strong confidence numbers out there. And I've seen that, and it, you know, displayed in a number of ways. Lower wage groups coming up, household savings up, debt ratios are lower. So, I think we learned a lot of lessons as a country coming off of 2008, not only with institutions, but individual families, knowing you can't run up those credit card bills so high. And that's, you know, something, as we touch on interest rates here going forward, you know, that's going to be something to also keep an eye on, because once those start to rise a little bit, some of those high interest, if you're carrying a lot of things on credit cards, you need to be mindful.
You know, one of the things that you guys get asked a lot about this time is, has this market gotten to a point where I should be sitting on the sidelines, or it's gotten too expensive, it's gotten too high priced, I'm going to wait? What's your comment to clients and people that talk to you about that?
To me, there's never a bad time to buy into a market. The whole notion of, well, it's at an all-time high. I mean, I can go back to conversations we had with people 5 years ago when S&P was at, you know, 1,400 or 1,600. And, well, this is, it's so high, I can't get in now. I'm going to, you know, get in and it's going to go down. Well, fast forward the clock here, I think we're over, you know, 2,500 right now. And it hasn't been without some ups and downs, but the overall documentable trend has been positive with some, you know, intermittent downturns in there. And that's really what you have to accept if you're going to be a long-term investor.
Great start this morning. We're going to come back with a couple of great topics. Join us in just a couple of minutes with more Money Matters.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign, Urbana.
I'm not only an administrator, I'm a mom too. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. And I understand the importance of delicious, healthy foods. That's why we have personal on-site chefs who create fresh homemade purees for infants and tasty meals your children will love. We encourage good eating habits in a family style environment. Don't have time to make dinner? We'll provide meals to go. These are just a few of the many reasons families and kids love Katie's Kids. Call or come in to enroll your child today or visit katieskids.net.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Had a good start to this morning's show. Joining me is Chris Rudy, also from Kingston Wealth Management. Chris, we're talking a little bit about what's been going on in the markets a little bit. Just briefly, Warren Buffett was interviewed this past week and getting his take on what the Fed moves are going to be and kind of low interest rates in general. And I think to sum it up, he basically says he doesn't really pay a whole lot of attention to what Fed policy is really doing unless it really gets to where you start seeing a 300 or 400 basis point rise in rates. His notion is it's just kind of it's going to happen and he doesn't get too wrapped up in that whole process.
Yeah, well, I think if the Oracle of Omaha is subscribing to that idea, there's really no reason that most of the rest of us shouldn't follow. And he's right, because a lot of the things that the Fed does, they talk about for 6 months before they ever do it. Most of the people who are tracking that kind of price, a lot of that is already priced in to the market. I think we've hit on the big word is uncertainty. They've done a really, in my opinion, a much better job over the last few years of being more precise about what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. And, you know, you're correct. If we saw some, you know, big shift, larger than expected increase by, you know, several magnitudes, would certainly see some volatility in there. But the overwhelming trend is, he's correct, is that, you know, rates will continue to go up closer to their historical average of around 4%. And when we get there is anybody's guess. But it shouldn't affect things too much one way or the other.
Just briefly, oil this past week's right in that $50 per barrel range. 10-year bond, not a lot of change at about 2.35, call it. Really hasn't been a lot of movement either side of those equations. And I still think we're starting to see a lot of that hurricane aftermath settle down in the oil markets a little bit, and things have been coming down. And here in Central Illinois, we're still very, very fortunate with the favorable gas pricing.
Yeah, you know, certainly just kind of that continued discussion of there's just a lot of supply of petroleum, natural gas products out there that it really is, you know, working to keep the price per barrel of oil in that kind of 45 to 55 range and just keeps bouncing back and forth. And you know, there'll come a time when that shoots up again for a little while, but I do think that this is more of a kind of a new normal, a new shift because of the abundance of those resources.
Speaking of shifting, I want to do that right now into a topic. You know, I read a we talk a lot about Social Security in our business because people, as they get ready to retire, they're starting to prepare for that, make decisions on what kind of strategy to take. And interestingly enough, we all know, and we've talked about how, you know, the highest monthly benefit is if you turn 70 and elect to wait. But yet most common age to collect Social Security is still 62. And as you know, Chris, people are locking in the lowest monthly benefit there. But there's a reason why, and we want to kind of talk about why some of these reasons why people are doing that. Why did they elect to take it? And I guess first and foremost is they need the money. You know, have more than half of the income from people, 62% of retirees come from Social Security. So a lot of them just need the income.
Yeah, you know, we're really seeing the shift away from fixed income sources besides Social Security. So things like pensions. Some people are still fortunate enough to have them. Many are not. So now we're relying on what we've saved in our own, either in our IRAs or company 401ks. So having that kind of additional boost, if you can, to come in, and it really also comes into play for folks that maybe retire early. And
right.
at this day and age, 62 is what I would deem an early retiree, just by averages from what we're seeing. And, you know, I think the thing that we hit on most is that you don't want to take Social Security prior to your full retirement age if you're still earning a paycheck, if you're still working, because
pay a penalty.
There's several rules and regulations in there where if you make over a certain amount and you're trying to claim Social Security benefits, could end up giving a little bit of that benefit back. But yeah, the need of the money is really a main driver.
And it's followed closely by, there are folks that we talk to, I know you guys talk to, about suggesting that, hey, longevity in my family is not very good. Maybe their lifestyle choices have not been to the point where they really feel like they're going to be living into the 80s, 90s. No one can predict that. But clearly that has effect on people's decision making.
Yeah, and it's really one of the things that I like to focus on the most, is because you're correct. A lot of the sentiment we get is people just seem to have that date in mind where they know they're not going to be around anymore.
Right.
And I always try to remind them that the overwhelming risk is not that you're right in predicting that, it's you're wrong. And now you've got to come up with a financial solution for another 5, 10, maybe even 20 years. You know, averages right now of a 2-person retirement at 65, one of the spouses, one of the people in the household will live into their early to mid 90s. So you're talking about a 3-decade retirement solution that you're having to solve, and kind of locking in that lower Social Security benefit, especially if it's going to be a major part of your retirement income solution, can really kind of put you behind the eight ball a little bit.
One of my best friends turned 62 a couple years ago, and his whole response was what kind of on the third on my list is that, hey, I want to enjoy this money while I'm young enough to enjoy it. I want to have that those resources, thinking that as I get to the age, if I'm fortunate enough to get to age 80, 82, I may not be wanting to do all the things that I want to do now actively. That does play a part in people's decision-making process of, hey, I'm 62, 63, my wife and I want to get out and enjoy some things, and they've got a little bit of money to do that. I mean, that is a reality.
Well, and it sounds like from the situation you're describing, it's really more discretionary money at that point. It's not something that, you know, they need for their, you know, make their retirement solution work. And that's why, you know, I think we always hit that this is a very individual decision for each person or each family when to elect taking Social Security benefits. And you're correct. For folks that, hey, this money is just extra right now, you know, maybe we've got pensions, maybe we've got substantial retirement savings that we know to be sufficient, not only now, but in the next few decades. Well, then, yeah, there's really, it's up to you on when you want to start collecting that. And again, just keeping in mind, you want to make sure you don't have other earned income that's affecting how much you can benefit.
Last to touch on briefly, there are folks out there that think they're very astute, smart investors, and that they think, hey, if I get a hold of this money, I can invest it wisely. I'm going to be better off if I do that, having that income stream now and being able to invest that. I know that's some thought process. I don't know that it makes a lot of sense. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, that part is a little harder for me to accept, only because if you really think that, hey, I'm going to make the smart decision, well, to me, locking in, you know, because every year after full retirement age that you delay until 70, your benefit gets increased by 8%.
Yeah.
So by delaying, by actually doing nothing, you can guarantee yourself
an increase,
that increase year over year. Whereas, yeah, you may get lucky. You may, you know, identify a good investment or something that turns out to be a good investment that benefits you. But, you know, when you start throwing around the term smart or responsible or logical, if you're really trying to get that increase locked in, that's a pretty easy way to do it.
I've actually had people, and I think you probably have too, that are misinformed a little bit when it comes to Social Security. I know people think sometimes if I don't elect it at 62, then I have to wait till the next jump on range. That's not really the fact. You can choose it at 63 and a half, whatever the point you want to do.
Yeah, you can take it anywhere between 62 and 70 currently, and it just the longer you wait, the closer you get to that full retirement benefit, the less of a deduction that you lock yourself into. And then also, once you hit full retirement age, don't have to wait till 70 then. Can delay it for 1-2 years and lock in a little bit of an increased over full retirement benefit. But it's a complex system that bears some looking into.
And obviously, if you're still working at that full retirement age, you're not penalized.
No.
And that, which is another great thing.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about minimizing probate when you're setting up an estate. We'll be back in just a minute with more Money Matters.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing? It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the amazing account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your amazing account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Had a great time here this morning. Thanks for tuning us in. As you do every week, I want to thank our sponsors also, Westminster Village, Bloomington Normal Community Bank, the folks at Baxter's Grill, and also Katie's Kids right here in Bloomington. All great companies, and glad to have them with us every week. I also want to remind folks too, Chris, you know, even with all the money and the markets doing great things and going up, this is a lot of times when you don't see a lot of activity, but I know you guys have been extremely busy the last several weeks, and part of it is because of great listeners on this show, and I think they're taking advantage of the opportunity to come in and maybe speak with you and Mike or Kevin about some of the things, maybe taking a look at their portfolio, maybe making some comments, some suggestions. So if you want to do that, you can always reach these guys at 663-9477. I know there's no charge. You guys don't do that for a initial consultation. You'll take a look at it just to give them an opinion, which is, I think, is a nice thing. I want to talk about one topic real quickly, Chris. Probate, when it comes to estates, you know, I think people are oftentimes, if they're not set up correctly, can subject themselves to some unnecessary costs. There's attorney's fees. There's just all the court costs, all the things that go into, you know, tax issues. If you're not setting up these things properly. And I think it all starts with the quality of attorneys and legal minds we have in this community. There's a lot to choose from. So I think that starts there. But one of the things I think that, that you guys talk about, maybe start with, is joint accounts. That's something that you really need to be mindful of.
Yeah, you know, there's a way that you can own things jointly, especially with your spouse, called with rights of survivorship. Just makes it a lot easier transition if, you know, you're unfortunate enough to lose a spouse, but you own assets with rights of survivorship. Those assets immediately become the surviving spouse's. You don't have to wait, split the account in half. Half of it go into an estate if that's directed by will. So just a good designation for, especially for married folks to keep in mind, to try to title assets. It's, you know, many times before it was not as common when we've had some changes with the estate law that they didn't do that as often. But now we're with the limits that they are, probably a good route to go.
How about payable on death and transfer on death? Those are two things that people need to be mindful of, those terms too.
Yeah, and that's something that's more for like adding a beneficiary to a non-IRA or a non-retirement asset. And you basically designate a beneficiary that goes to immediately and can go by way of kind of keeping things a little easier to dole out.
We're not going to talk a lot about revocable trust because I think we'll spend a show talking about more about that. But I do want to ask you about, are there assets that probate doesn't touch, for instance, or the things that kind of pass without?
Well, you know, we just hit on it. Things like transfer on death or especially life insurance policies, IRAs, anything that has a named beneficiary can help avoid going through that process.
But important to remember, I guess maybe as a last sort of thing to remember, folks need to make sure that those beneficiary forms are checked on a regular basis, because you guys have seen cases where somebody just has a life change and maybe hasn't made those changes. And that should be an annual thing at least, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Unfortunately, things like divorce happen, and many times we have a spouse listed, but if you get remarried, make sure you want to avoid a bad conversation and maybe update that. And then also, lastly, contingent beneficiaries are something that, you know, we always remind folks to add in case something were to happen, you and your primary beneficiary in a common accident. Always good to have another person listed there.
Gerald's giving me the wind down, so we got to go this week. We'll be back next week with more Money Matters. Till then, this is John Rudy with Chris Rudy saying thanks for joining us.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
The average American spends more time planning vacations than they do planning for retirement, and that's a problem, given the length of time many folks will be living in the years to come. At Kingston Wealth Management, we help clients find a balance, which should allow them to responsibly enjoy life while maintaining financial viability. We have access to state-of-the-art software that can take all the variables into consideration as we develop a financial plan with you, not just for you. Client input is critical in coming up with a plan that does more than just sit on a shelf once it's produced. The team at Kingston Wealth Management is ready to go to work for you. Just give us a call at 663-9477 to set up a no-obligation appointment soon. Make the call today, because time truly waits for no one. Kingston Wealth Management. Financial solutions above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.